Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Pastor and Mrs. Osonbi, you're welcome. I appreciate that. And all the sisters in the house, I bring greetings from all the other sisters like me. Hallelujah. Please, can you have your Amen. Glory to God. Pastor Bello, you're welcome. Pastor Oki, you're welcome. Pastor Felix, you're welcome. Pastor Dilla, I saw you somewhere there. Praise God. Hallelujah. All the pastors' wives, the deacons, and all protocol, standard exercising protocol, if there was any, had in Jesus' name. I was informed that I will bring a short word. I'm bringing a short word this evening. You can say that it's a program thing. It's already programmed in our minds. It's difficult to forget that you are not in the morning all the time. This evening, by God's grace, I want to add to what the guest minister has said and what she will come and say. I just have a little under 30 minutes to share what is on my mind. And I told them that I usually it's difficult for me to use 30 minutes. Excuse me, I'm looking for my pair of tumblers. I think I came with it. You won't believe it. I didn't come with it. Praise God. So can we go quickly? Father, I thank you for this time that has been allotted to me. I pray, Lord, that you will help me to break down the word and that this word will be a blessing to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 4, and in fact, if you add to really have a full grasp of the prophetic utterance, you need to read the whole book of Isaiah, particularly the old chapter 61. Amen. And because of the time I have, I want to pay particular attention on some few things. I don't have I don't have all the time. Now, you can break this prophecy down basically into two sections. Amen. There is a preaching part of this prophecy. He said here in the beginning, he said, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me to do what? To preach the good news. Amen. He needs to preach the good news. And if you run down to verse 3, go to verse 3 for me. Verse 3, to appoint, praise God. In other words, there are two components to the activity of the Spirit of God on the life of Jesus. Number one was to preach. Number two was to do. Amen. In the doing, he was going to appoint to them that mourn in Zion and give. Praise God. And if you see the life of Jesus, if you run through the life of Jesus, you will find out that when Jesus read that scripture in Luke, can we go to Luke chapter 10? Verse 13. No, not Luke 10. Not Luke 10. Luke 4, I beg your pardon. Amen. Luke 4, 14 to 19. 14 to 19. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, I'm concerned this evening about the fulfillment of those prophetic words. Those words hung in the air for thousands of years until Jesus came into the temple and opened the scriptures, and the Bible said that things began to happen. And he returned the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region around about verse 15, And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19. He now said this, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. 20 now said what? And he closed the book. Amen. And what was prophesied in Isaiah 61, he didn't complete the assignment. Have you ever asked yourself why? Because the first part of that assignment could only occur as the natural second Adam. Or rather, he had to come in the nature of the first Adam. Praise God. The second part, the declaration of the day of his vengeance, came after his resurrection. Amen. And every other thing that came after that could only be activated after the resurrection. Amen. Because you know there were two parts to his anointing. Are you aware of that? There was a part the Bible says that God gave him the Spirit without what? Measure. Is that not true? Now, can you compare what the Spirit with that measure did and to the activity of the Spirit when he appeared and said, all power is given to me. If it was without measure, and this one now said with all power, that means the one they gave to him, which was without measure, had measure. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. It was without measure. In other words, that anointing was to accomplish many things, like preaching and altering and changing quite a number of things. Amen. But the issue of taking people's ashes and giving them beauty could not be activated until he rose and received the power of the eternal Spirit. Amen. Am I communicating? So what you and I have come into is an activity of the Spirit to birth a reality that the earth is yet to see. Praise God. The problem when we therefore look at the question of ashes, for example, mommy, I tried to look into all that yesterday. Ashes speaks, actually, when people are sad, when people are, let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say here. Job 46. Job had silly things. He said all kinds of stupid things. And now God appeared to him. And God said, stand up if you have knowledge. Answer me. Were you there when I did this? Were you there when I did that? Were you there when I did that? And so Job responded. Are you there in Job? Job 46 verse 6. 42 verse 6. I beg you. Job 42 verse 6. Are you there? Please quickly. Job said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in what? In dust and ashes. When a man is in dust and ashes, it speaks of a man who is, in a way, who has been broken. A man who has come under deep conviction. A man whose life it does not measure. No, the Bible says all of us have seen and we have come short of what? The glory of God. It's a type of, how I put it, situation that you are showing God and men that you have actually come short of his glory. Amen. But the problem with all of us is that we are just like the first Adam. After he sinned, do you know what he did? He searched for a solution for himself. We have been trying to cover our nakedness. We have been trying to lift ourselves up from the dust and the ashes of our lives. We have been trying to put things right. And so, you have a lot of New Year resolutions. You have a lot of improvement programs. You have all kinds of programs on the earth. And it has not helped anybody yet. Praise God. A man once said, the communism will put a shirt on every man. And a Christian stood up, said, Christianity will put a soul in every shirt. Do you understand that? Yes, you can provide for every man. But what about the heart of that man? Jeremiah said the heart of a man is deceitful. is desperately wicked. So who can know it? Praise God. And so when we sit down, we begin to look at our ashes. Why would God want to change your ashes? Why would he instead? Because he doesn't like men to remain in ashes. It is just anathema to him. Praise God. I'm borrowing the words of Pastor Bello. Hallelujah. Everywhere the Holy Ghost sees ashes, he is offended. He doesn't want that kind of situation. And so he's looking, the battle eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole land, looking for whom he can demonstrate his power. Looking for whom he can change his situation. But the man's heart must be right with him. Amen. Am I communicating, church? So Job said, I've abhorred. When God began to talk, he said, I have heard about you. It was actually by rumor. People have said all kinds of things about you, but now I see you. Say, I abhor myself. In other words, he judged himself based on the holiness, based on the standards required of him by God. And he said, I've come short. And for that, I abhor myself. Many of us are dishonest. Now, let me give an example. Do you know that your life is like a building that has a lot of rooms? Do you know that? Your first encounter with Jesus is Jesus coming to the door of your house or the gate of your house and knocking and wanting to come in. And you go there, he said, come in. Praise God. And he now comes in. Now, you can keep him outside. Amen. Do you know that? And stay in the rain. I say, I'm sorry. Because some of us don't allow strangers to come into our homes. We encounter them at the gate. Praise God. But he said, I'm standing at the door, I'm doing what? I'm knocking. If any man hear my voice, what should he do? Come open. Then I come in. Now, he has come in if you have given your life to Jesus. But many of you have made it to stay in the sitting room. He can't go anywhere. So he comes and says, bros, what is in that room? That room is fornication. Some of us can even accept and tell him, actually, that's a room called fornication, but you have no reason to enter that place. It doesn't concern you. You say, I have had. Praise God. That room is stubbornness. It doesn't concern you. Stay in the parlor where we shall be eating and dining. We've read it in Galatians 5, Abi, yesterday. Lasciviousness, seditions, witchcraft. All those things are different rooms in our lives. That you and I need to reopen the door for God to come in and change what is in that room and replace it. So some of us are dishonest. We'll tell Jesus a lie. I said, there is nothing in that room. It doesn't concern you. No, 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 don't worry yourself. Just come back to the sitting room where we can be playing, we can be dancing. Praise God. And some of you, we will tell him, yes, it is there, but it doesn't concern you. It's my house now. Amen. And a gentlemanly easy won't force himself on you. For how long are you going to keep those houses, those rooms in your life, private from the Lord? He's not going to change your ashes for beauty if you're not willing to give up your ashes. Amen. I like the way Sister Monica led us in prayers on Thursday. He talked about exchange. And basically the truth is that with God, it is about transactions. We are basically in transactions. You have to give up something to get something. Amen. My friend told me many years ago, he said, if you are going to get a child, or you want to take, let us say, akara from a child. Amen. You must give him something better than akara for him to exchange. But you see, if you give a child, let us say, your son, light. If I give him my car key, will he appreciate it? He likely won't understand what I gave to him. He will likely go and take and throw it somewhere. He won't know it. But if I give him, I don't know whether he has started eating cake. If he sees that cake, and I'm asking him to give you the bread in your hand, he will joyfully do the exchange. Many of you do not appreciate what God calls beauty. That's a man was asked, I learned an example of what he called faith many years ago. And this was how it was described. A man fell off a cliff, and on his way down, he was fortunate to have a branch on the face of the cliff. So he hung on, he grabbed the branch and was dangling between the heavens and the earth. Praise God. And a man walked up to the edge of the of the cliff and say, young man, do you need help? Do you understand that kind of question? It should be obvious. But that's the way God asks questions. He doesn't assume on you. Because you may tell him, I don't need your help. Please leave me alone. Are you with me? So the young man said, yes, I do need help. He said, what is it that you need? I want to get out of this problem. He said, okay, if you want me to help you, release the branch. Does that make sense? But I said, you have to release the branch. You want something from him, you must give up something. It's an exchange. And I was on Facebook, I saw a particular video. They were talking about angels. And they were saying about 10 fallen angels that is more wicked than Lucifer. And I said, you are a bloody liar. So this is complete BS. I don't know who told that any demon can be worse than Lucifer. Lucifer is the epitome of wickedness. It's the pure, pure form. You can't get another form that is more purer than Lucifer. It's the epitome of darkness. So it was a lie. And the lady was beginning to question me over all that. And I said, look, the truth is in the Bible. You can't get, there is no demon that can be like Satan. You can't find another one. He's the, ogre in crime. It's the difference between him and them is that he's a fallen cherub. One thing about cherubs is that they are responsible for ways. You know what they call ways? Remember when Adam fell, God put cherubs with swords to guardians of ways. Praise God. For Jesus, the Bible says that we have a new and a living way. That is the way that takes us back to God. You can't go back the pathway of the cherubim. That door has been shut. Can't go back through that way. So the only way that takes you back to God is not guided by cherubs. Jesus is the custodian of that way. Praise God. Do you understand? That's why no man cometh to the Father but by him. Everything you need in your life, you must come through the same pathway. You must come and exchange. You must say, Lord Jesus, there is fornication in this room. Can you please enter and deal with the problem? Praise God. For some of us, your house may be very small. It may deal with everything at once. But for some, it has to be a gradual process. You give up this one. Say, I will conquer that one for you. You take it. Jesus, come here. I have another one here. You see me. My own problem is ancestral. We abuse anybody without even thinking. That's just our nature. He will help you enter that room and deal with that problem. Praise God. Cleanse it and replace it with beauty. Praise God. There was a man whose ashes was a mantra. Who was ever in his whole life, if Jesus gave me the right to decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, Paul had no business going to heaven. We would not even say the Holy Ghost to go and save him. Amen. Because he was a mother, he persecuted the church. And he also stood to give his validation to the death of Stephen. And did so many other horrible things which they didn't tell us about. But he himself admitted that he was a very bad man. Praise God. So why would God save that kind of man? Why would God reach out to him? Now, many of you may not know that God is seeking whom he will save. He doesn't give up on anybody. That man needed to have God come into his heart. He needed to exchange his ashes for God's beauty. Today, nobody talks about that aspect of Paul's life that made him one of the most feared men. Feared. He was one of the least feared. Is it man or men? Thank you. They feared, of all the earth, people feared Paul. You only need to hear a rumor that Paul is coming to Akure. Everybody evacuate. He has not arrived though. He just heard that he's on his way from Lagos. Everybody, yeah, get out of town. That was how bad Paul was. But when God took away his ashes and put beauty on him, today everybody wants to be like Paul. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to be like Paul. Everybody wants to preach like Paul. Everybody wants to dress like Paul. Praise God. Have you found any sane man that names his child Judas? Have you attended any naming ceremony? You have attended one? They're abroad. Son name is Judas. His name is Judas. His parents didn't do well. Glory to God. Everybody wants to be named after somebody whose life has become beautiful. You have Samuels. You have the Davids. What else do you have? You have the Esthers. You have Paul. You have the Deborahs. Amen. Everybody likes those good names. But you see, they were once people of ashes. They were people that had no hope. They were people that nobody will relate with on a good day. But they met with Jesus and their lives changed. Speaking to sisters, many of us, our lives, we still have plenty baggages we carry around the whole place. It is not the will of God that we have to keep carrying these things. It doesn't make sense. Now, you see, hallelujah. I want to be careful here. Amen. Now, let us look at Hebrews 1:9. This was also said of Jesus. See, after he rose from the dead, these things are now possible because of the power of the eternal spirit. Hebrews 1:9, of what they said of Jesus. Hebrews 1:9. Was said of Jesus, that thou art loved righteousness, and what happened? You hated what? Iniquity. Therefore, everybody said therefore. This is how you exchange your ashes for beauty. What do you love? Who has defined love for you? Who has defined the object of love to you? Who has told you that this or that are the standards by which we measure beauty? Who taught you? Amen. Of Jesus, they said because of what he loved. Amen. You can be anointed with the Holy Ghost. You can be in church and do many things. But if you love the wrong things, you will die. I hope you know that. Jesus, in spite of the fact that he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, he still needed to work on his love heart. Is there anything like love heart? Praise God. If there's anything like that, just on the other. What do you love? Now, how do I know what you love? Many of you have never fallen in love. Many of you have gone to is called infatuation. Praise God. You just see one young man. I have no strength in me. This boy shall give me. Hallelujah. By the time the boy shows his true color, you have forgotten. So like, if God see me and that boy again, it is not I and God that boy me. My Bible said that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know what it is to die for your enemies? An enemy that has sworn that you will never prosper in life. He has sworn to God that God do me worse than this if I don't kill you in life. And yet Jesus still decided to go and die for him. Say, while we are yet his enemies, while we are yet rebels, praise God, he still chose to die. So when you now talk about love, you must be careful that we are not talking about Nollywood and Hollywood love. Praise God. Are you sure you guys understand Hollywood and Nollywood love? Amen. Eh? You know the Hollywood, but you don't know the Nollywood. Bollywood. Okay, Bollywood. Now you may think it's not affecting you, but it's not true, it's affecting you. Those things are affecting your judgment. Those things are affecting the way you see things. Because the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of your heart flow the powers and the forces that control your destiny. Listen to me. Destinies are not controlled anywhere. It comes from your heart. Your heart decides your destiny. Amen. So what are the things you love? John warned us, they love not the world. Neither therefore, if any man love the world, the love of the Father cannot cohabit in the heart. It is impossible. Many of us love the world and we want to hold on to Jesus. I love the song we sang in the days of the SUs. Goodbye, world. See, you know the song. You had an SU before. Oh, see. I've made up my mind to go God's way most of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way. Don't play guitar. Don't play guitar. I'm not doing the guitar one today. Praise God. God, thank you very much. Amen. Then there's one that said, Satan, take the world. And there's one we used to sing to, Satan, take the world. But we no longer sing that. We want to show the world that we too we did. I don't know if it's what I love. I like Agagu, late Dr. Agagu. It was some PFM pastors that came to visit him. He said, I don't know how to pray, but I did. Praise God. Amen. I hope you are flowing with me. You think you are smarter than God. It can't work. You are dealing with the Ancient of Days. That is one of the names of God. Is the Ancient One. Civilizations have risen. Civilizations have fallen. And it still remains God. He has not changed. Is the ancient God. But you see, you tell me, Pastor, we are living in modern time. There is no modern. Look, when they wrote the Bible, it was modern time then. Am I communicating? It is still modern time. It will be modern time in the past. Your old children will tell you, but your old school, they will tell you in Jesus' name. That's what I mean. As of you, your old children, mark my words, in the next 50 years, you say, and Pastor said it too. And it came to pass that the word the man of God said in church, you will be old school. But the word of God abided forever. It doesn't change. It is you that need to join with that word. And that word is new every day. Praise God. You think you can have your cake and eat it. It doesn't work. Never ask. You think you can play with sin. Some of us, we do differentiation with sin. No, when you do differentiation, the Y, the X, as X tends towards infinity. Are you with me? So you are seeing how close can I get to sin before I become a sinner? Before you know it, the boundary will shift and go there. Then you find yourself that you are 20 kilometers inside the boundaries of sin. You are in enemy territory. It will be too late by then. Sisters, you have challenges. Let us face the truth. Many of you need to work on your heart. Many of you have been lied to. You have said, look, if you become too spiritual, you become outdated, you become obsolete, you will not be fine. And that is not your fault. Brothers, you have been conditioned to respond to the externals. Your judgment, the judgment of many brothers has been dulled. In fact, has been killed. That they cannot see beauty when they see beauty, when it stands before them. They don't understand what beauty means, because if you cannot, praise God. Many years ago, a beautiful sister. I watched it on NTA. Married a cripple. The brother is crippled and I think it was a dwarf. I don't even know. That is beautiful. And the NTA reporter said, how? Said, God told me to marry him. How many of you can do that? And so, and let everybody be ashamed this morning. In fact, a generation has risen that says, you don't need God to talk to you. Just like him, brother, like you. I'm in love with you. And then we'll marry. Hey, you are playing with fire. Amen. Please, can you welcome mommy? Mommy, you're welcome. I'm doing John the Baptist. You're welcome, man. Amen. Hallelujah. I must decrease that she may increase. Amen. So you understand that scripture now. Glory to God. So many of us need to work on our hearts. The Bible says Jesus loved righteousness. Not only did he love righteousness, he also hated wickedness. Now you can love righteousness and also accommodate wickedness. Many of you are compromisers. I've said it here before. Many of you that want to marry, the day you marry, that's the day I will know the true person you are. That's the day I will know what is your heart. That day I will know. That day when you marry, and all the person that we even know is not the person that is seated to be joined together with another man. The person that is seated there is a masquerade. They said, there's a couple. Where's the wife? Is that the wife? Is that his Ade? Is that his Ade? That is not Ade. Ade, are you the one? And the demon that is sponsoring that life to you is saying that it is only one day, okay? That image has been in your heart for the past 1,000 years. It just showed itself. There was a story of Bernard Bonke. He went into a store, I think musical store thereabout, and he was checking things he wanted to buy. And he passed a man, and that man was puffing a cigar. And Bonke passed him and looked into his eyes, and the guy puffed into Bonke's face. You know, that's quite rude. But he did all the same. Didn't care. And Bonke didn't take any offense and went his way. Few minutes after, the man came to him. There was no blood on his face. He was white. But what's the matter? What's the problem? He said, when you passed me, I looked into your eyes. And I said, I saw Jesus. Look back at me. And the man broke down and gave his life. And Bonke went back and said, Jesus, what happened there? He said, sometimes I come out of people's eyes to just check out what's going on around. And that was that the man looked. Glory to God. Who will look out of your own window? Is it not Satan? Because every time you sit down, you do makeup. You don't understand what they call makeup. All those things you watch, all those characters you see, came from the realm called the realm of the imagination. Are you with me? Those people do makeup. They imagine something on your face and they put that imagination there. Now, who controls that imagination? You don't know who controls it? Give me Ephesians chapter 2. Let me bring it round up. I hope I've not offended. If I have, I have no apologies. Amen. And you have been quickened who were dead were in trespasses, not one. There were many, so they called it trespasses. Trespasses is different from sin. You don't know. Otherwise, they would not have used trespasses and sin. You have plenty of sins. Now, if you get to Hebrew, it says about weight and what? Sins that does easily. Praise God. Trespasses. behaviors, unlawful loves, loves that you should not love. You love it. Know that some of us we secretly love. Even me, I have that. God doesn't excuse it. The pastor, but if we begin to, are we not going to be too serious? We are not going to be fine. I told myself, if it will take me 50 years not to be fine, and I make heaven, it's still better. Than do 50 years fine boy and go to hell. You have not weighed the consequences. You have not evaluated the price. Wherefore, sin, which one, who said you Diana? Okay. Praise God. You are jumping, you are baying. Praise God. Where in time past you walked, according to what? The course of this world. Many are still walking by the course of this world. They are born again. But there is a course. See, that course, like I told us, is also called the way. That course is fashioned by cherubim. It's a path. Jesus Christ said, and that course is the course of this world. So there are two paths. There's a way that is broad and leads to destruction. Say many find that. That many are many. Believers are there. Because they are still under the control of the man who fashioned that course. That path. And as you find yourself on that path, the things you love brings you there. Are you with me? He said, according to the prince of the power of the air. How does he operate? That now walketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Listen to me. Christianity is a life of obedience. It's about obedience. That's why God had to tell Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. And it starts from simple things. Bro, let me carry this chair, take it there. And you look at it. Hey God. Christianity has caused problem. Hey, me. To carry chair. Is it because, if it's not Jesus, you know what we are seeing? That is the spirit of arrogance, stubbornness. And these are all the works of the flesh. And who sponsors it? It's called the prince of the power of the air. How does he work? He works by casting thought patterns. He works by designing cultures, belief system. Have you heard somebody tell you that this is how we do it in our family? Somebody was saying that they want to do marriage, and you being the lady, they are telling your husband to be that he must bring 20 cartons of koro because that is their culture. And he said, "Well, the Bible says give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar." You are preparing your way down to hell because you don't seem to understand what you are dealing with. It starts, compromise starts from there. That's how it starts. That's how it just starts. There. Small. Now, all that thing is concentrated by Lucifer to lead men down the path that leads to destruction. Oh, if I don't do it, they will give me a wife. Who told you? I heard of my friend. He married from Kitukwa area. They did that for him. They said, "You must give us hot one." He said, "He's not giving them." And they said, "He got upset. He's not even marrying again. Keep your daughter. I'm good." They had to beg you to come back. Okay, I don't have time. There are many sisters. Amen. Please now, let me give you one bottle of... You need only one thing for you to get out of the way. Beloved, God wants to exchange your ashes and give you beauty. But are you willing to release the ashes? Are you willing to tell him, "Come have it"? Are you willing to... And one thing I must say as I bring this to a close. I've learned from experience that God loves someone that is honest. Now you may love something and you may not want to release it. Jesus, I love fornication. Fornication is very sweet. But Jesus, you know I don't want to give it, but help me. And you'll be shocked, he will help you. There are times like that. Yes, you love a sin. You love it. Don't lie to yourself. You love it. But you know it's a sin. Tell Jesus, I have a problem. I love the thing I'm not supposed to love. Deliver my soul. And he will deliver your soul. But don't come to church and say, Jesus, you know I just love you, Jesus. You say, what about that one? Don't worry, it doesn't concern you. Just let us go on. Kiss me, kiss me, kiss me. The day Satan will come and touch your own is my own. Because it carries my property. You remember Jesus Christ said, before he went to the cross, said the enemy cometh, and he findeth nothing. What is Satan looking for? He wants to look for his properties inside of your heart. Do you love the things Satan loves? Once he finds it, he disqualifies you. He will tell God, "This you can't use this girl. It's not possible. Please, Jesus, let us talk about another problem. Forget this girl." Because the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. That's why you cannot live and not confess sin unconfessed. Did he get my take? The sin, you are wrong. You know it's wrong. But it doesn't matter now. You don't think I'm playing with you? What's wrong with you, God? You are too sweet. Get out, Joe. Leave me alone. Amen. Jesus, how I love Jesus. Jesus, I swear I will die for you. You say you're a liar. Many people are lying. Lying to themselves, lying to God, lying to Satan. They are just lying. And Satan says, carry go. I am behind you. I am with you. I am for you. Praise God. Let us stop deceiving ourselves. Let us judge. Even if you judge yourself, God will not judge you. Judge the things. Don't pretend. Don't hide it. Don't say, it is sin. Lord, I admit before you it is wrong. But you know me. I have a problem with this. It's an habit I have to deal with. Lord, help me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want us to bow our heads today. You cannot ask God for beauty in place of your ashes if you are not willing to give up your ashes. I want you to talk to God and ask the Lord, take these ashes. You need to specify it. If you don't know what the ashes are, David said, Lord, examine me if there be any wickedness in me. The Lord will show you that this is not right. I don't want this. This I don't want. This I want to stop. This I want to put away. At that point, you now tell the Lord, I am sorry. Help. It could be anger. It could be fear. Because fear drives away faith. It could be love. It could be inordinate ambition. It could be any of those things that God says are wrong. He does not want them. Jesus loved righteousness and hated wickedness. That was why his Father God anointed him with the oil of gladness. You want God to anoint with the oil of gladness. You want to become a beautiful woman. Then you must ask the Lord. Some of you don't even know what beauty means. You need to ask the Lord, explain it to me. Show me. That song says, show me where I fit into your plan. Are you willing to fit into his plan? Are you willing to give up your own plan and fit into his plan? Are you willing to obey him, even in spite of what it may mean? Father, I thank you. Lord of heaven, I commit every one of us into your hands. I ask for mercy. That you show us mercy even this day. And show us where we need to give up those ashes and what those ashes are in the name of Jesus. Purify our lives. Let your spirit build us and make us trees of righteousness. As you promised in your word. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.